a very frequently repeated principle of the spiritual life is at the end of today's gospel. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Sometimes it's expressed a little differently, but the idea is always the same. If we cling to our life, if we make ourselves first, we end up losing our life, and we end up last. But if we give our life, if we sacrifice, if we die to ourselves, we end up living. We end up gaining. In this case, Jesus tells us this principle at the end of his conversation with Peter, after he made this instruction in yesterday's gospel about the case of the rich young man who decided to keep his possessions and went away sad. It's the negative example of the same principle. Usually the principle is illustrated by showing somebody who made sacrifice and benefited from it. But in the case of that rich man yesterday, he declined the sacrifice. He looked out for number one. He kept his possessions, and he ended up sad. Now, for those without faith, or those who don't accept the gospel, or actually, this spiritual principle can be found in other religions as well, in some form. But those who don't accept it, think of it kind of like a scam. This is a scam. And some people have said that the promise of eternal salvation is the ultimate scam. You know, a scam is someone says, I've got this huge amount of money or a huge reward or some great benefit for you, and it's yours for the asking. All you have to do is put a little money in the account or give us your personal data or send us $2,000 to make processing fee or something like that. The idea is you'll give a little and you'll get a lot. And that's how people interpret the message of salvation. Why do they say it's a scam? Because they say you lose what good you have now. It gets taken from you and someone else uses it. Usually some unscrupulous clergyman or someone like that. Someone claims to represent God. And the claim is that you're going to get something great afterwards. And of course, that's a myth. Well, no, it's exactly the opposite of a scam. It's closer to what looks in the world like a good investment. Because this is also a worldly principle that you have to give in order to get. You have to invest in order for the business to grow. You have to start with some, putting out some effort and some capital in order to get the process of wealth accumulation going. It always, that's why businesses, when they always start out in debt. Like they start out by taking out a loan or making an investment. Well, it's actually neither of those. It's neither a scam nor an investment. It's best understood as a participation in the very life of God. So let's go back to what we saw on Sunday, the Feast of the Holy Trinity. In the Trinity, what we see is this very process going on to the highest degree and forever. Meaning this process of making oneself last and becoming first. Because that's what all the three divine persons do all the time. The Father is pouring out everything he has, everything he is to the Son. He's making a total gift of himself to the Son. And the Son, and so you say, oh, the Son's got everything now, and the Father has nothing. So it looks to the limited perspective of man. But no, in fact, the Son, participating fully in this process, gives everything to the Father. Everything has to the Father. A complete self-gift. And that dynamic between the Father and the Son is so perfect that it breathes forth the Holy Spirit, who in his turn receives everything from the Father and the Son and gives it back to the Father and the Son. So this constant dynamic of making one, deliberately choosing to be the last, deliberately choosing not to look out for oneself, but to make a gift of oneself, and thereby benefiting the most. So that's what's going on at the very root of all reality. So people who tap into that are the ones who benefit the most. It's not just an investment. It's not just a more clever way of looking out for ourselves. It's a participation in the abundance of God's life. So the rich young man yesterday, he just didn't get it. He really thought, or he was afraid, that if he were to give up too much, he would end up being the loser and he would be unhappy. He ended up unhappy anyway, because he stepped out of the flow of life. Well, and Jesus said, this is really hard. This is a hard thing for people who are possessed of their possessions. It's hard for them to get this. They're so caught up in what they think will make them happy that the idea of giving it up, it's just very difficult for them. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom. The poor, on the other hand, who recognize their need and recognize how dependent they are on God already, so anything they have is a gift from God and they're grateful for it. That's the attitude of someone who's poor in spirit. Well, this process actually makes great sense, because it's already at work. Anyone who has a grateful heart has already experienced this God giving of himself. Peter, in today's gospel, makes the explicit question, what would be implicit, or what everybody would think in the back of his mind. Peter speaks out, as he's always the one who talks. He says, well, we have given up everything and we followed you. You say that it's hard for a rich man. Well, what about us? So we're not rich. We never were rich, but we're a lot less rich than we ever were. In fact, we gave up everything. And now we don't have anything. And we're following you. Remember, they were scandalized by what Jesus said about the rich man. When Jesus said it's hard for a rich man, their thought was, well, if it's hard for a rich man, it's even harder for us. That's how they were thinking, because to be rich was already a blessing. So since they didn't have that blessing, well, remember the question? Who can be saved? That was yesterday's gospel. Who can be saved? If that guy can't be saved, and he's a good guy, and he's following the commandments, and he's rich, well then, who can be saved? So Peter has this in the back of his mind. Can we be saved? Are we on the right track here? And Jesus gives quite an extraordinary answer. Something to ponder. There's no one who has given up house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, or children, or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel. In other words, there's no one who has made some great offering of himself, or some great self-sacrifice, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecutions. That's something that gets thrown in. We didn't give up persecutions. We gave up good things, and then we end up getting persecutions. And eternal life in the age to come. So what Jesus says is, not only is there going to be eternal salvation, which is the greatest reward, and that's enough, but there's also going to be blessings even in this present age, 100 times more. This throws people off. It either gives them the expectation that they will be 100 times richer, and that doesn't happen most of the time, or it makes it sound like Jesus isn't really telling the truth, because they tried this and it didn't work. So we have to understand this, of course, in a deeper sense. And Peter, for sure, made this kind of reflection. Did they have 100 houses as they were following Jesus through the streets of Galilee? 100 more mothers, fathers, children, 100 times more land. They never had any land in the first place. They had a boat, maybe they had a house. What's this 100 times more? Well, it's a description of the life of the church. It's a description of the body of Christ, where what belongs to one belongs to all. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are poured out in abundance on the whole church, belong to all of us. We're all rich because we belong to a rich family. We're all rich because we belong to God and He's rich. Our inheritance is without measure. Now, what about this persecution thing? And Jesus says this is part of what we will gain when we enter into this dynamic of giving. Why? Well, because our gift and our ability to receive the greater gift is flawed by a tendency to selfishness. And it's very hard for us to get out of that mentality. It's so natural to us. And one of the ways which actually is very effective to snap us out of our focus on ourselves is persecution. Why? Because it purifies the gift. If we give and in response we get rejection, we start to say, well, what did I do that for? And we have to say, well, did I do it just for myself? Did I do it so that I would feel good or so that people would like me or something? Well, if that's the reason, well, then it's not a good reason. It's not really love. But if I did it because I'm grateful to God, I love God, I want to do things God's way, well, then that persecution isn't going to change my motive. And that's the purification. Persecution has a surprising effect on the body of Christ. It makes the body stronger, makes the church grow. And this is true in every age of history where the church is persecuted, it grows. Sometimes it grows smaller because people get killed or driven away, but their faith grows. Let's look at what St. Peter says about this. Now, Peter is the one who asked the question in the Gospel, and Peter is the one who writes the first letter, today's first reading, and he's reflecting on this in a deeper way. So this is years later. This is after Pentecost, and after years of proclaiming the Gospel, explaining this very thing, that to follow Jesus, to give your life, is to gain a much greater life. He starts to say in this letter, this is what the prophets spoke about, and they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak about it, that the sufferings destined for Christ and the glories that follow are now available to us. And that was the prophets, the ones who spoke about it, but it wasn't for their sake. It was for our sake. And this is why he says, so gird up the loins of your mind, live soberly, set your hopes completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Don't go back to that old way of thinking. What Jesus taught us when he told us that the first will be last and the last will be first really works. Now, Peter's not a rich man when he writes this. He's a man who suffered a lot of persecution. He's a lot of rejection. But he knows that this is the absolutely best way to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So don't act in compliance with the desires of your former ignorance. Don't go that way. It will only leave you sad, empty, hungry. No, go this way, because the one who called you is holy, so be holy. Be holy because the Lord is holy. To be holy is to be like God. God who is free, who is generous, who is love, who is other-centered, who is every good attribute. That's what he wants to share with us. And that's what he does share with us if we're just willing to let go of that constant focus on self and self-preservation and self-promotion and self-glorification. Let go of it. Let that die. Put it to death. So that we can enter into this endless, abundant stream of grace, of life, of love, which is life, the life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.